for. Thank you for joining us, Dennis.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I want to talk about the undercounting for Indigenous people and why that's actually on the rise, why undercounting is on the rise, even though broadly for all Australians it's decreasing. Can you explain just first of all what undercounting is? Sorry, Dennis, could you just explain?
It's not anymore, but the Australian Bureau of Statistics does its best to enumerate every person who's residing in Australia on census night, and some people are more difficult to find than others, and unfortunately, the Indigenous people are among those. The undercount hasn't increased from the last census. It's of the same order, but it is still much larger than what it should be.
Okay, so now, but the undercount rate for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people is at 17.5%. That means about almost 140,000 people weren't counted. Now these
That's correct. But I should explain one thing, that the official population estimates for Indigenous people and for all Australians for that matter do take account of the undercount. So when you see the official population estimates that come out every year, the number of Indigenous people there will be correct, but the number when you analyse the census will, as you say, be about 17 below the actual population.
Okay. Now, does that mean that there are many consequences of that undercounting then, or are they mainly mitigated against the population figure?
Well, the population figure is the one that is, I guess, most commonly used. But if you're doing cross classifications based on the census data, you have to take some account of where the fact that a number of Indigenous people haven't been enumerated. The post enumeration survey, as well as giving you numbers, also gives you some basic demographic characteristics of the ones that are missing: age, sex, and some geographic data as well.
Okay, so now your panel's report mentioned the special strategies used to reach out to Indigenous and remote communities, as well as to new migrants and homeless people, and even people with severe disabilities. What are some of these strategies?
Look, that's really a question for the ABS. I'm not the expert, but in our report, we did suggest that the ABS does need to have a good look at its strategies for enumerating Indigenous people and how they can best improve them. And one of the things we think they should be doing is engaging more closely with Indigenous leaders than what they have in the past, you know, to try and get their strong support for the census. That happened in the last Canadian census, and they saw the benefits of that. And in fact, the ABS in the most recent census put a special effort into improving the enumeration of Chinese people, Indian people, Vietnamese people, and the undercount for those populations, people from those backgrounds, was much less than what it was in the previous census.
Okay, now, part of, I think, some people's fears around people getting undercounted or not being picked up in the census is a move towards an online form. Do you think that it should be continued in 2021, or do you have any fears that moving to a digital system might continue in a digital system will lock out remote communities even more?
There will be what's referred to as mixed mode in the two fair. Is that there'll be some communities where they aren't even given the option of an online form. It's the traditional paper form. But even those communities where the preferred method is an online form, they do have the for a paper form. But what we found with the online form was that the answers were actually more accurate on the online form and what it was on the paper form. And this is because people are sort of guided through the questionnaire. If you're filling out the paper form, it's quite easy to miss out on a question, you know, particularly if you're interrupted. When you go back to it, you may have forgotten one or two questions. So we actually found that the electronic form was actually more accurate. And interesting, some of the our Asian migrant population, the majority of them completed the census form online.
Okay, and you were the head of the ABS when the census data tabling initiative was developed. What do you think could be done to make sure data is even more fully utilised going into the future?
Well, there's a number of initiatives you can take. A lot of people rely on the internet now. They're also quite capable of doing quite a few things of their own. And one of the things we started actually when I was an Australian statistician was for people to be able to generate their own tables. So they can actually create their own tables that are of particular interest to them and run them against the census database and get the results back. And the confidentiality procedures are all automated. But the ABS also, starting from last week, will have quite a large amount of data from the census already on their website, and this will include data about particular communities.
And I'd just like to ask a question that's perhaps a bit left of field, but I feel is quite tailored towards the Independent Assurance Committee, which is, what do you do with people who may skew statistics by giving answers that may perhaps are more motivated by comical purposes, like people are declaring their religion as Jediism when, frankly, Jediism being based off the belief born out of the Star Wars fictional series.
Well, the ABS, if people answer questions like that, they're not given any category at all, so they're regarded as not stated. The Jedi one, which has had a lot of publicity in past censuses, I'm told that the number of people who did that in the 2016 census was considerably lower than what it was in the previous two censuses.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Right. Well, it was my pleasure.